It's time for Real Estate Roundup. This is the time every single week we get together with noted real estate agent Terry Story. Terry is a 28-year veteran with Coldwell Banker located in Boca Raton, Florida. Welcome back to the show, Terry.
Thanks for having me, Steve.
You remember the song Tiny Bubbles, right?
I sure do.
Well, we're going to be talking about tiny neighborhoods because tiny neighborhoods are coming. Tell us about it.
Actually, tiny homes are still mostly illegal in the majority of the country, but in a newspaper article in Spur, Texas, they're actually creating a community. And these tiny homes are going to be made up of 200 to 600 square foot homes.
Wow.
They can either be on wheels or actually built on a foundation. And they tend to be more, you know, basically more affordable than traditional homes.
Sure.
And, you know, you're looking at anywhere from like $30,000 to $50,000 for these tiny homes. The idea is that people want to simplify their life and keep things, I guess, little.
Yeah, well, it's not only that, but I think, you know, it's a financial issue. But it sounds to me like these are mobile homes. I mean, some of them are on wheels, some of them are on foundations. I just wonder whether these are prefabricated homes. I mean, well, I don't really know. A single wide trailer, let's say, is, I wonder if that's 200 feet or not. I guess people can live in that. But 200 feet, square feet living space seems awfully, awfully small.
Yeah, to have a kitchen, a place to sleep, a bathroom.
So I guess it's a reaction to the lack of affordability as wages haven't really risen enough to offset the rise in the prices of homes, plus the fact that interest rates are going to be rising.
And if you're living in a 600 square foot one, you're living large. Especially if it's Texas.
I know. Well, yeah. You know, if you've been to an IKEA, they have a 200 square foot model inside the store. You know, there's a bed along one wall, and then there's a TV kind of up in the corner and near the ceiling, you know, and then there's a kitchen, and then the bathroom's right next to the kitchen. And I mean, I could see people living in that kind of a space, but it seems to be would be very, very hard.
And this is something that's really happening. You know, they're seeing it in Texas, Florida, Colorado. Spur, Texas, they're making the claim this will be America's first tiny home friendly town. Mm-hmm. So they're turning in this whole area into a town made up of these tiny homes.
All right, let's skip gears here. I'm going to actually skip topics here. And I want to talk about what is the luckiest list price for a home? The luckiest list price. Should it be something $999? Should it be whatever? Do you want to tell us about that?
Sure. Well, Realtor.com did some research and that they found a trend where there seems to be a large number of eights. So everything's 888, like $888,888 or $8,888,888.
Mm-hmm.
And they're seeing a lot of this in New York, San Francisco, and Los Angeles. So basically what they figured out is happening is it's to attract the Chinese home buyers, which makes a lot of sense because in the Chinese culture, eight is considered the luckiest number. Now, ironically, it's, you know, a very catchy, if you look at 888-8888, it may be very catchy. It may make you feel lucky. But the reality is when they looked at the 178 homes that popped up last year on Realtor.com with this eight phenomenon, they only sold about 0.32% faster than other listings.
Mm-hmm.
So
it's not so lucky for the seller.
Not so lucky for the seller. You know, it sold a tad faster, but you know, no big deal. But
that's
it is a catchy thing.
Yeah.
And then some other trends that you don't want to do, like the number 13.
No.
You know, many buildings, Steve, I don't know if you're aware of it, don't have a 13th floor.
Right, I do.
Because of superstition. Mm-hmm. And the Chinese don't like the number four. So you don't want to put a home on the market for 444-4444.
Oh, my.
If you're in an area where there's a large Chinese population.
So if your address is 134, you know, Madison Avenue, you've got a 13 and a 4 in it, you probably got some problems.
Well, what do you think about 666?
Boy, you really got other problems. You got other problems there. All right, let's switch gears here. You know, obviously we've had a new election. We've got a new administration. Very controversial administration. And I was wondering what the expected possibility of the Trump presidency would be on housing.
Well, you know, especially if you look in our South Florida market, Trump is a builder. If he follows through with his campaign promises to reduce taxes, increase jobs, and spend money to rebuild roads, bridges, and industry, this is going to strengthen the economy, which will provide a lift for the housing construction, which should be good for the housing industry. Now, having said all of that, at the same time, regardless of who is president, the interest rates were bound to rise. So the interest rates rising are going to hamper the ability for people to purchase, like we had talked about earlier last week. So the outlook with the expected economy with Trump being in office, overall boosting the economy, is very positive on the housing industry.
So you're going to have two sides of the same coin. On the positive side, all of this activity could lead to higher economic growth. That's, I think, why one of the reasons the stock market has been rising after the election, in anticipation of faster growth in 2017. But on the other hand, faster growth could bring on inflation, which then leads to a rise in interest rates. It kind of makes sense in a way. It's kind of like a pressure valve. You know, as the economy picks up steam, you have these higher interest rates, which kind of keep it in tow so it just doesn't get wildly out of control. So it's one of the market mechanisms, I think, that lead to basically a very healthy outcome for the market. But as far as real estate is concerned, Realtor.com is talking about a 4% increase in the rate of home prices next year, but we're expecting to see a lot more economic activity, right?
That's right. And you also have to remember that real estate, with every industry, it has its cyclical. And we've been in this cycle now since 2006, 2007. So we've been in a 10-year cycle. Mm-hmm. So you're going to see, you know, we were way down at the bottom. We've gone up. We've been rising. And it's natural for, in any cycle, for it to peak and then start to recede. Mm-hmm. And I think we're going to start to see some of that, not necessarily overnight, but, you know, the cycle has to start to change at some point.
Yeah, so make sure that when you go buy a house, you buy something that's affordable. Don't stretch it too much. Don't reach too far, especially since we've had this real estate cycle, a positive real estate cycle for all these years. I'm not predicting a downturn. Nobody really knows, but be aware that we're at the higher price of the scale of homes right now, not towards the bottom. My guest, as always, is Terry Story, a 28-year veteran with Coldwell Banker, located in Boca Raton, and can be found at terrystory.com. Thanks, Terry.
Thanks for having me, Steve.